So for the next half hour or so, with the Lord's help, we would like to just open up for any discussion, questions. Certainly, we hope to be able to address any questions, and if they are not, as you've written them down, we'll try to do that some other time. When the brother was speaking, he mentioned the last 12 years. And I wanted to just bring before you a verse to perhaps encourage each one here. Because in 12 years, you can look back to this point right now and say, what has happened in those 12 years? That is the uniqueness of every single moment of your life. Every moment it passes, but there's something defined for you at that moment to receive and enjoy from God. I just want to turn real quick to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, and I want you to put yourself in the place of this prophet. Ezekiel 2, verse 1. So right now, seated here on these somewhat comfortable or not benches, you're here. And in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, you can read it on your own, the prophet was witness to the wonders and the glories of God. It was something that would provoke from anyone adoration and worship. And this is what the Lord says to him in verse 1. And I want you to listen as if this is the Lord speaking to you right now. Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And so for this day, and any time you gather with the Lord's people, or any time you open the Word, just stand in His presence, and this is after He has bowed down and worshiped, and listen to what the Lord has for you, because He has something unique. He is not giving us one line of thought. We are to sit here and try and absorb it. No, there is something unique for each of us. So it may be helpful to open up the scriptures, and some of them that Brother highlighted, present to us a sort of radical, if you will, definition of freedom. If you think of freedom, if you ask anyone what freedom is, it means, especially if you ask a young person, especially with one who doubts the Lord, you probably would know better the answer the way I'm going to. But if you said to someone, what is freedom? It means I can do whatever I want. I can go where I want. I can say what I want. I am free to do as I like. But perhaps just to provoke some discussion, there is a verse in Scripture that says exactly that. And it is the last verse in the book of Judges. And we know what happened. We know what path the Jews were on. And we know how it ended up. And that verse says every man did what was right. There was no king. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now that is the world's definition of freedom. But that is not scriptural. That is not God's definition. And we know that the brothers seem to bring before us that it is in His presence, knowing we are nothing, and without Him we can do nothing, knowing it is through Him that we can exist and live and worship and be free and have Christian liberty. That is perhaps just a brief way of looking at freedom. But in Judges, there it was. They did what was right in their own eyes. And you have at every moment, you have that choice. Am I going to do what's right in my own eyes? Or am I going to do what's right in God's? Am I going to do what He has for me? Because the end result of the Jew is still continuing right now historically. They are blinded. Read it in Romans 11. As a nation, they are blinded. They are lost. They are not God's people as a nation officially. And so freedom, from the world's perspective, is really just slavery to sin. So perhaps just to open the discussion with that.
Let me say to the young ones, I would encourage you to be at liberty if you have a quick comment. But feel free in such a setting to also ask the question, if they did it right. Feel free to ask the question, because that's the time now of the group discussion, that's the reason. We want you to get it. We want you to understand it. So please feel free. We like to hear your participation in a sense of quick comments, right to the point. And then if you have the question, you can ask it verbally rather than written. I'm going to ask a question because I need to learn a lot after I heard this. We have heard the defining of freedom, and I'm wondering also with it if the brothers could help us to define also the word worship. It's always helpful to define the words that we are listening to time after time. And as we have heard that God brought us into the highest thing that He desires us to do. So I'm wondering if we can get some help so that you all might understand it. Also the word worship. What does it mean as far as Scripture is concerned?
Small in the presence of one who is great. Just leave it at that. That's one way of looking at worship.
I wonder if we can get help from Genesis 22, where we read about Abraham and Isaac in their journey up to the Moriah to worship. So, in verse 5, in Genesis 22, we read, "And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, will go there, in the appointed place, and worship, and come again to you." So, if we think of what was before Abraham there to do, we can conclude that maybe one of the meaning of worship is God is looking into someone, and Isaac was his representation on that day. And that one was his beloved son, thy son whom you love. And God is looking unto his son as a subject of his pleasure. And that's what Isaac and Abraham and Isaac were going in the journey there. So what God is looking in our lives is to see the representation of his beloved son. Maybe we sometimes hear the word houses of worship. But we don't just worship here when we come to the meeting together. But worship is required. God is looking to see his beloved son in my life as I'm in the meeting as well as I'm outside the meeting.
I think verse 12 in the same chapter, after that, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. It's a we don't hold for ourselves what we love.
So could we say, you brought before us the first time worship is mentioned in the scripture. So would it be suitable to say, worship has in view always to offer to him that what's for him. It is different than prayer meeting. Perhaps prayer meeting is circled around us most of the time, needs. But worship, if we can connect it with John 4, like you mentioned, and I'm glad that Brother Samuel wrote Genesis 22, because it has the same features of Exodus 3:18. There is the resurrection, and there is all these thoughts that you have presented. But if you go to John 4, the Lord establishes the conversation, give me to drink, give me. He starts with giving me. And I wonder if this is the one of these meanings, or what we could learn, that worship has to do only with him. Just to what Abraham was doing, go offer thy son, offer it to me. Don't offer it to you, offer it to me. So perhaps this could be a little definition, that when we talk about worship, it has in view giving God what's due to him. Give me to drink.
That's why it's the burnt offering. And if you went back to the offerings in Leviticus, the burnt offering, which is first offering, is an offering that was exclusively for God. Everything, except in the matter of the priest who offered it, he got the skin as a garment. But the sacrifice was burned on the altar completely for God. So when we think of worship, we must differentiate between all the other things. Prayer, thanksgiving, even adoration. Worship is the occupation with the person. He has to consume me. We have to be engaged with him, with all of the intricacies, the beauties, the delights of the person is what occupies the mind and brings us into a place of prostrating ourselves before him. That's the idea of worship. That's what God is securing. He wants a response from us that is exclusively for himself because of who he is. And that's what Christ wants from us as well. So I think as we distinguish between the request that we make in prayer, which has our interest, or even when it's adoration, we are adoring him because of the way in which he has done the work. But we worship him because of who he is intrinsically in himself.
And I think when Brother Enoch was speaking, the connection between freedom and worship is a fascinating thing to me. I think people are seeking freedom right and left and everywhere. Revolutions are happening everywhere in the world because people are seeking freedom. And generally speaking, is by young people. I never seen a revolution started in a nursing home. Because they didn't like the dessert or something. It's really young people that start these things all the time. Because there is something so precious when you are young. You think you have this capability to think that you could do a lot of things because you don't have enough experience for your limitation. So you are a daredevil. You could do anything, you could go anywhere, you have freedom. As a matter of fact, you would think that this matter of a religion is a bomb. So we need freedom from religion. And that's what you hear in all of the university campuses, that religion is a bomb, you have to get rid of it. If people, like the verse in the Book of Judges, have no bond whatsoever, if I could do whatever I want, if I get up in the morning and I want to have French fries and ice cream and ketchup on there, eat them, and nobody tells me anything, that is really freedom. That's it. So it's not really freedom. Because without orders, without one who kind of gives you a control, it's a chaos. If they tell me that on the road, anyone could drive the way they wanted to drive, Do you want to drive on that road? Where people could go the opposite direction, where people could go 100 miles an hour, where people could go 50 miles an hour. Do you want to drive on that road? Accidents and disaster and death will happen. So I want our mind to think very clearly here. That if we want freedom to know God, to worship God, it has to be according to the way He described it. The example that were given to us in the book of Exodus, highlighted a few things, and I want you to understand the illustration. Egypt at that time is a picture, is a type of the world today. Where people have tolerance for everything. Whatever God you want, you can worship. You want a sun god, you have it. You want to worship a calf, a cow, you have that too. You want to worship three of them, you have that too. You want to worship nobody, you have that too. It's completely freedom. Were the children of Israel free in the land of Egypt? No, they weren't. Yeah, but the freedom to choose whatever God you want. No, because you know what? Behind the scene, there was one who's controlling everything. And that is a cruel master. It's Pharaoh. He is a type of Satan. So keep in mind, Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. It's a picture of that. And today we have the same thing. There is push for power. There is push for freedom. There is push for you to worship your own brain because you choose whatever you want. But you're not being free. You are enslaved. You are a master who can set up that system and what I have to give you. And you have a choice today. You could go on saying, I will stay in that type of the world where I can do whatever I want. I could serve Satan because I feel I will have freedom. If you ask the children of Israel, would you like to stay in the land of Egypt? You guys have all the choices. All the choices you want. As a matter of fact, they ate meat, they ate onion, they ate, they had all the top diet, whatever you want to eat, you can eat. There's hard work that's going on, misery. Only God will free you. So now what is God says? God wants you. You heard it. And I want you to, God doesn't want anything from you because you have nothing to give. Even the brain that you have, God gave you that. He gave you everything. You, your eyes, you, your hand, He gave you everything. So He doesn't want anything from you. He wants you. And He wants you to make you happy. Satan had given you that idea that God, if you become a religious person, oh man, you're miserable. Look at that. All places, you know, they don't go to gym on Sunday, they go to a church. It's a queen. No. We want you today to realize one thing. If you want to be free, if you really want to be free, you need to know God. And God revealed Himself to the person of the Lord Jesus, because He is God manifested in the flesh. So you need to read your Bible to understand what is the truth. What are God's requirements? What did He do so you be free? And worship is really taking up with God. Forget about yourself. Forget about everything else. And you are focusing on it. And when that is right, trust me, you're not going to be sitting home lazy, gazing in the sky saying, well, I don't know what's going on. You're going to be actually the best worker, the best student, the best person that behaves. You're not going to be in trouble with anybody if you are right with God. If you're not right with God, then all of you are happy. And I dare any of you to prove me wrong. That if you neglect God and follow Satan, your life will be happy. You could have all the money in the world, and look at them. You could have the beauty. I'm always fascinated about the Hollywood actors and actresses. They have the beauty, they have the fame, everybody knows about that, they know their name, they follow them, they follow them. They are all miserable people. They're either using drugs, they are either in rehab, or relapse, or committing suicide. Why? Don't they have the freedom? They have the money. They could go anywhere in the world. They have the beauty or the smartness or the fame, the recognition, everything that you want to say, you wish to have 10 of them. They're miserable people. But I can show you millions of Christians that might be poor, that might not be the smartest people in the world. But they are happy in the Lord because you know what? They experience freedom to know God and worship
Him. I want to get an illustration of this thought of knowing God and the response to Him. Moses had that experience in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus 34, God appeared to Moses. Read it from verse 5. And the Lord descended, and Jehovah descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by to gather him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. What we have here is God revealing himself and showing himself to Moses. And what we have to realize is that there is a very real distraction that wants to always turn us away from the God who has revealed himself, the God who has spoken, the God who is there. And so by not recognizing the God who is there, we have to find something else to do. And so we get occupied with ourselves, we get occupied with the world. When Moses got this glimpse of how great God is, the only response is he bowed and worship. And that's where our hearts need to be, to see God in all of his greatness, his sovereignty, his superiority, his wisdom, all that he is. Then my heart being responsive to him, it bows and moves inside of all myself, bowing in response.
Amen. So, you got it? We all got it now? Or do we know it all by now? I'm just asking, before any brother. So we all got it, no questions, no... Well, you did a good job. I'm going to just give more examples for you to look into the Bible to understand freedom and worship of what you said. The freedom is this. When God created everything, he gave full liberty to Adam and Eve. He says, from any tree you can eat. That's liberty. That's freedom. He didn't tell them, eat this tree at this time and eat that tree at that time. He even gave them the tree of life that they can eat from, right? There was no restriction, but there was restriction. So that's a freedom. You can enjoy every tree, every herb, but there's the restriction that if you're not going to obey the Lord, then right away you brought yourself into bondage. That's what freedom is. So let me connect it now with the worship, what the brother had mentioned. Why is it so important? I hope you took notice of that verse in Exodus chapter 10, the one that was quoted, and verse 26. You can read it at your own leisure just for time's sake. For we don't know. Now listen to this. Listen to how Moses is answering. Pharaoh is trying to tell him, well, leave the cattle, leave this, take this, don't take this, short distance. Moses said, man, you're putting creed and everything the way, you're telling me the way we need to worship. But he said, listen, for we know not. Now listen to this carefully, because that's where the secret of freedom to worship is. For we know not how to serve or to worship the Lord until where? Until we get there. Brethren, there is nothing like the gathering on Lord's Day morning to come and worship. Because you know why? There is no man telling me what I need to do or what not I need to do. I sit quiet, or you sit, or maybe you can pray. There is no commandments that are given by man. The Lord brings me into liberty. And that liberty of worship is that I don't know, coming to the meeting, we need to do this in order to be counted worthy of worship. No. We don't know. We know not how to worship until we get there. It is the Spirit of God will bring us into that freedom to worship in the way he sees fit. And that's why sometimes in the meeting you see, maybe the Spirit of God was highlighting the Lord as a lamb. Maybe he was highlighting the Lord as a blessed God. Maybe he was highlighting, why? Because he brought us into liberty. So let's not fall short and, you know, accept that a man is going to tell me what to do and don't say anything, it's only me. Let's, you said, give it up, right? Finish. It has to be the person and be the one from those that will enjoy the freedom to come together to worship.
That's why we call it the worship meeting.
Yes.
On the Lord's Day. But is worship limited to that meeting?
And that's the point that I was thinking as John is speaking, as to whether or not there is a limitation just simply to when we come tomorrow morning. No.
No.
There is no limitation. I believe that there has to be that which is personal first before there can be that which is collective. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 26, and as you were speaking, I turned to it. It brings out the matter of the first fruits that are supposed to be brought from the ground, and they are to be brought from your dwelling. Must be brought from your dwelling. I always remember, John, you had spoken once on Exodus 34, and this always stuck with me after you spoke about it, where it was the second time for the huge stones for the law, and you always made mention of and be ready for the morning, and you emphasized the fact of just what engages our hearts on a Saturday evening. Before we prepare, before we come together on the Lord's Day morning, what engages the hearts? Everything except Christ. And then when I come on Lord's Day morning, I expect to be able to be in the spirit of worship. But it just doesn't happen. So it is what I bring from my dwelling. What have I been enjoying? What is it that I'm feasting on that becomes the essence and center of the response of worship tomorrow morning? But it is because I have been in the worshipful spirit so that I can come energized and actuated on by the occasion in responding worshipfully to the Lord.
And this freedom here is a regulated freedom. It is not the freedom of you do whatever you want to do. Mm. It is a freedom to do whatever He wants you to do. And this is the beauty of it, because the one who created you knows what works well. If you have a car, a computer, the one that made that computer is the only one that could tell you the best way to get the maximum out of that computer. He knows what will make that computer work right. Now, if you have your own idea of how to do things, you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. Again, let's go back again to what we are saying. What we are saying is this. The freedom that you are given is given to you by the one who created you. And if you stray away from that, you're going to be in bondage. You're going to be enslaved. Brother John speaking about, we come together. We are so taken up with God. Remember, worship is not just saying certain words in a certain way, because that's, you also make that. Worship is, I'm going to say something. You might not say a word, and you will be a worshiper. At the workplace, at school, if you are taken up with God, and He's regulating your life, and you are doing that, you are worshiping. I had a friend who was a Samaritan woman that she bowed down, and she said, I don't need any of that. She's a worshiper. She was taken up with Christ, and she went back and she said, come, here's a man. Abraham was a worshiper, because when God said to him, offer your son, he said, oh, wait a second, I'm having emotion. He was incomplete. That's the only thing that he asked Abraham. He was waiting for that. He was waiting all his life for that. Finally, he had it. And then God said, no, I want it. See, God was everything for Abraham. Nothing was so dear for him. He was, you know what? A man who doesn't have any burden, who have nothing to lose, is a free man. The man who has nothing to lose is a free man. And what do I have to lose? What do I have in my life? If that is lost, and death is gain, that's what the Apostle Paul said. I have nothing to lose. I have everything to gain when I'm in Christ. But if you are in a world, people are afraid to die because they're going to lose something. People are afraid to, you're rejected because you're going to lose something. You know what? If you are in Christ or you are accepted in Christ, there is no fear of rejection. There is no psychological problem. You are important in the eyes of God, no matter what the universe or the world is trying to do to you. It doesn't really matter. He's in control. See, this is freedom. What I find against sometimes is see people who are really terrified when the pain came off of them. Really. And one time I was just sitting there and I was reading my Bible, and a person looked at me and he said, I looked, I saw you reading the Bible, I thought we're going to have a crash. I said, no, I read the Bible all the time, I thought we were going to have a crash. He said, are you afraid of a crash? I said, no, actually, I know where I'm going, I'm not afraid of a crash, are you? And this whole idea, people are afraid, I'm not going to lose anything, whatever, I don't know, I'm not, what, life, that's the most important thing you have, if you lose it, it's gone. You see the freedom that you have in Christ, young people? Don't let the enemy enslave you. And then you could worship right, because that freedom is regulated by him. He tells you what to do. He tells you what to do. Moses said, I don't know. I don't know. When I go there, I go there. And I think that verse that Brother Mark mentioned in Exodus chapter 34. The knowing the God, the characteristic of him. You know, with Abraham, he made you. He knows every cell in your body. He knows how your brain works. And he knows how you be good. If a doctor gives you a medicine, they said you take only one a day, and you decide, you know what, we give just five of them, so get it over with. Freedom, right? You think you're going to be the doctor. I know. No, you take one a day. And if you every 8 hours, make sure you take it every hour. We accept these things in life. Why are we rejecting God who created us? Do you want to be happy in your life? Do you know how to worship him? Do you know what is the true Christianity is? This is freedom. That's all in the Word of God. I hope your mind is clear and ready, because we're going to continue on that journey. Have questions, write them down, ask after. But please, just have your mind ready. Today might be the day. Kevin said it earlier. If the Lord leads us here 12 years from now, you might say, well, now is the day that I get rid of myself. And I'm free.
So just to wrap that thought up and very plain, you mentioned to die is gain. The beginning of that is, for me to live is Christ. And so the woman said, I know that the Messiah cometh. And then the Lord Jesus said, I am he. I that speaketh am he. So this is, we talked about it, it's a relationship. It's knowing God. It's being involved in him. And the lecture was mentioned that we come and all we think about are the distractions, the negative things. And I'm sure there's 60% or whatever the young people here that, like me and like others, they come and Sunday morning, all they can think about are the bad things they've done in the past week. And all they can think about are the things that Satan's reminding us that hold us captive. And so we need to develop this relationship so that when we come Sunday, we have the first fruits. We have the things that we gather all weekend. So just very simply, the freedom to worship, I think, in part, is Christ, I am he. It's this relationship with him and getting below him to make him preeminent in our lives so that when we come on a Sunday morning, whether we're breaking bread, whether we're a male or a female, we can speak publicly or not, we have worship for him. We have something to offer back to him. We're not enslaved by whatever thoughts we have. It's developing this relationship and returning something to him. And so, unfortunately, we're out of time.